Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with me. I'm Bill Arnold. I'm so glad we're going to have this hour together. If you're just climbing into your car, hey, holiday weekend ahead. How cool is that? It's going to be nice to have an extra day off this weekend, so give you a chance to maybe travel if you're going to be on the road this weekend. Be mighty careful. And if you're going to be just enjoying time together with family in the backyard, I like mine medium. All right, we got a great hour coming up. Welby O'Brien's written a book called Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD. She is married to a 100% disabled vet with PTSD, and she's written a very insightful book. This is going to be very encouraging. And then I'm going to have a chance to chat with Pastor Andy Veith. He is the senior pastor at Bethel Church, and that's where we're going to be Friday night with our comedy night. Myself, Bob Stromberg, Michael Pierce Donnelly. That show we did in March for our 70th anniversary, we're taking on the road, and we're going to be in Fargo next Friday night. You're going to want to get tickets and come. I promise it will be an absolute great night out. We'll take a 60-second break and be right back with Welby.
Worshiping Christ together. Faith Radio. It's not just information, it's transformation.
You don't need to be afraid of God. I mean, really, He loves you more than any man will ever love you, more than any woman will ever love you. He will never love you any more or less than He does this second. God's love is not based on what you do, it's based on who He is. God is love.
Faith Radio.
All right, this is kind of a heavy subject. PTSD, as you know, can affect anybody, and not just veterans. In the U.S. alone, it affects millions, and it's certainly going to affect the people that live with them and care about them. And my guest is Welby O'Brien. She's written a book called Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD, and she's written an incredible book. And we're anxious to talk to her. Welby, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Now, I know that you have a husband who is a 100% disabled veteran with PTSD. Let's just maybe start with PTSD. Tell our listeners exactly what it is and what causes it.
PTSD, this is kind of my my explanation, is post-traumatic stress disorder, and it can affect anyone. And it results from exposure to an experience that's horrific or life-threatening. And what happens is the person becomes locked in this emergency survival mode. You've heard of fight, flight, or freeze survival. And will stay permanently programmed in that emergency mode at some level for the rest of their lives. So 24/7 they live as if the trauma or an impending crisis could happen at any moment. And it totally overwhelms their ability to cope. So when something comes along that triggers them back into survival mode, there's just no reserve with which to handle it. So basically, they are people reacting normally to an abnormal experience. But the good news is they can learn to thrive again. And that's what we're, the message we want to send out today, that there's hope.
And I appreciate that. But when I'm listening to you talk, they're in a survival mode. What is going on physiologically in their body? There must be chemicals or hormones or something raging through your system that just has you in this fight or flight or freeze mode all the time. What is that doing to your body?
Absolutely.
You've got to be exhausted.
Yeah, and that is why a lot of them have never really slept and perhaps never will, because the adrenals are probably burnt out or exhausted, or at least the body has plenty of adrenaline in it at a lot of the time. It also, are they finding it affects physiologically the structure of the brain itself? And I'm not an expert on that, but there are amazing, it's amazing to see that it's not just a psychological or emotional thing. It is, as you said, very biologically based, and the body has been what is actually a gift to begin with to preserve someone's life ends up being, if it gets stuck in that fight, flight, or freeze mode, ends up being a challenge for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But the manifestations of it, not only is physical, the brain, the body, and all that, but you would see symptoms such as anxiety, avoidance, depression. Another one is that how easily startled they are, and fear, flashbacks, the hypervigilance. Of course, they're always on alert. The intrusive thoughts of the trauma, irritability. They often have difficulty holding a job. There's memory blocks. Nightmares are very, very typical. Numbing, outbursts of emotions. Sometimes we see substance abuse and other addictive behaviors, relationship problems, sleep problems, putting up walls, withdrawing, and sometimes suicidal thoughts and attempts, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it sounds like there's something going on that a person must feel like it's out of their control.
Yes. A lot of it stems back to whatever their original trauma was. For many, and like you mentioned earlier, it's not just veterans. The veterans have the battlefield or whatever it was, that some of them have multiple trauma dates and things. Some people, it comes from childhood abuse, or it could be a really tragic accident or loss of a loved one. It can be anything horrific. And at that moment, when you're experiencing the trauma, you are out of control. And that's the most frightening thing. You feel alone and powerless. And so when that continues for the rest of your life, sometimes it's easy to overdo on the other end of trying to control your life and trying to bring everything into order. And when things don't feel safe, and they often don't feel safe, then that's it just complicates things.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people, thankfully, who can go through trauma and actually make it through on the other side with maybe symptoms of stress, but it doesn't end up being that deeply ingrained kind of for the rest of your life thing that you will at some level deal with. So there are lots of things to look for, but when you find yourself avoiding certain places or things, or you just can't get those memories and those thoughts out of your head and they're kind of tormenting you, or you're finding that you're going to the addictive behavior, or the emotions seem out of control, all those things that we mentioned a few minutes ago are signals, they're flags, and certainly would warrant at least looking into, learning about. Our website is loveourvets.org.
Mm-hmm.
We have some really helpful information that can help you identify some of the typical signs and symptoms, and some awesome resources of places you can learn more or go to for help. So I would definitely encourage you, if you are experiencing any of that or are wondering, or if your loved one is, to definitely don't put it off, but reach out for help.
Mm-hmm. Welby, I appreciate your vulnerability and transparency with your husband when you say he worked at it for 40 years. Is it important for him to talk about his experience that led to this trauma, or did he not want to talk about them?
He did not want to talk about it. Everything, just, I think we tend to want to just shove things down deep and forget about it and toughen up and just kind of write it off to something else and go on with your life. And there comes a point where you can't do that anymore. Things kind of either implode or explode. But it is important to be able to talk about it. However, that's kind of tricky because you want to, when the time comes, talk about it with somebody who is safe, first of all, obviously, and hopefully somebody who is qualified to work with PTSD. There's also some people out there who say, well, just talk about it over and over again and re-experience it. And that actually can, in some cases, make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Relive it without actually dealing with it in the proper way.
Right. So, might it be safe to say that, in general, if you've got someone in the house that has PTSD and you are wanting to understand how they are feeling, but they're thinking, if I really tell you what I'm feeling and thinking, you might run out the door.
Oh, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Not only that, but in some cases, they feel like they need to protect their loved ones from knowing everything that went on. So that's another aspect of that, too. And then there's so much of it that's still buried. Even in my husband's case, I know there is. But another thing that's really helpful is, as loved ones, just lovingly say, you know, I'm here for you if and when you ever want to talk. And that means so much to them. Respect the fact that they may not want to and be okay with that, but also lovingly let them know you're there if and when they're ready. And then when the time comes, listen and don't judge. Go easy on the questions and just be there and let them know that it's safe to open up, and then you can go from there as far as if treatment is needed or so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have so many more questions, but I am going to take a little break. My guest is Welby O'Brien. She's written a book called Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I'm so glad to be speaking to Welby O'Brien. She's written a book called Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD. And you have a husband who's 100% disabled veteran with PTSD. Have you felt along these decades that he's healing and doing better? Or did you think, ooh, my hubby's really stuck and he's stagnating?
Well, we didn't come together until 12 years ago. So I did not know him those first 3 decades.
Okay.
You know, he's described his life to me pretty well, so I know that he was stuck. The praise the Lord thing is that somebody finally went to him one day and just said, you know, I think it's time to do something, and encouraged him to go to a local vet center. Vet centers can be a lot less intimidating than the big VA.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ended up being his lifeline of help, was a buddy who came alongside and was supportive, and he hooked up with a really good support group and counselor, and that was when his healing began. And I'm also thankful that he is a man of faith, and I've convinced the people who have the Lord to walk with them through the aftermath of the trauma do have an extra dimension of help and hope and healing, and I'm grateful for that. So he will always struggle, and there will always be that trauma and those reminders and triggers that can come at any moment for either of us, actually. But I am thankful to see that he had started his journey of healing before we connected, and then I've been able to watch him grow, and it's just it's a joy to see how he has come.
Yeah. So, Welby, can we talk about the spiritual component to PTSD? I mean, where do we go in Scripture to feel like our faith can help us process this?
Well, I'm a firm believer that faith and love are truly key in the survival of PTSD and those around them. Faith being connection with God, reaching out to God wherever a person is on their spiritual journey, and that the love is connecting with others for that support. And unfortunately, a lot of people who have been through trauma have totally lost faith. Where was God and where is he? And I can't reach out to him, and are just very angry, or kind of the opposite spectrum, feeling tremendous guilt over things they may have had to do that they think perhaps they could never be forgiven. And that whole spectrum needs to be addressed with, we have an amazing God who knows all about trauma. Jesus knows all about trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, and he's there reaching out for you just as you are, no matter what you may have done or haven't done. And the faith to reach out to him needs to be just as teeny as all it takes is to say, I need you, God. So that message of hope and love and salvation from a loving, merciful God is the starting point. And that's it's a tough wall to get through, because so many hearts have been hurting for so long.
Mm-hmm. Welby, my producer, Rebecca, would love to ask you a question, too. So, Rebecca?
And Welby, thanks so much for talking about this and for being willing to minister to the hearts of those who have PTSD and the families as well. I'm one of them. My dear husband was injured in Afghanistan, so he's got some PTSD issues as well, and we're walking this together. So I wonder if you wouldn't mind just speaking a word to those of us who are walking alongside either veterans or people who are struggling in PTSD, and maybe we don't understand all their experiences, maybe we haven't been there, but we definitely want them to know that they're loved, they're safe. How can we be that supportive, safe place in times when those symptoms come back and it's kind of a struggle?
Yeah, that's a good question. And first, I do hope you will convey our appreciation to him for his service and sacrifice.
I can do that.
Much appreciated. One of the things, well, actually three, there's three things I learned right off the bat, and I have to sort of relearn them every day. But as loved ones, the first thing is to remember when they are having a hard time, number one, it isn't me. And to not take things personally, to kind of step back and recognize, okay, that's the PTSD going on. So it isn't me. Number two for us as loved ones to remember is, I can't fix it. I don't know about you, Rebecca, but I am wired to fix everything. And I certainly try, and the Lord keeps reminding me that that's kind of his job. But
true.
So the important thing is, I can't fix it. And that frees us up to just kind of be there for them. And it also, I think, in a way, is a respect to them, that I'm going to accept them as they are and not think they have to change in order for me to do that. And the third thing is, take care of me. It's so easy as loved ones, whatever level of love and caregiving you're doing, it's so easy to put our own needs on the back burner or feel guilty if we take some time for ourselves. But we have to stay tuned to our own needs and our own feelings, to connect with good support. We've got some great online and local support for loved ones on the loveourvets.org website. And that's a huge, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity for the loved ones to stay connected with good peer support, to validate our feelings and for encouragement and helpful tips. So to remember, it isn't me, I can't fix it, and to take care of me.
So important, Welby. Thank you. And that's encouraging.
It is. Thank you, Welby. What happens for vets when they struggle with PTSD, and then the saddest of all tragedies occur and they decide that they can't cope with life anymore. Is there support where people can go if they're in that situation?
Okay. There are all sorts of helplines, and again, we've got the crisis numbers right at the top of the list on our loveourvets.org website. In case you get to that point, there is no shame at all in reaching out for help. In fact, it's a good thing to do. And hopefully things would not get to that point. I'm not an expert on that, but I would tend to think that the people who are surrounded with ongoing support are less likely to get to that point. It would probably be more likely the ones who have isolated and just kind of had a downhill spiral and lost touch with other people. So that would be something to keep an eye on, the withdrawing and the isolation and the depression, see how that goes. The medical community, there's all different angles to come at this. I know a lot of people are on a lot of medications. Some people aren't on any. What works for one person may not for another, but to explore the options so it doesn't have to get to that point. For the loved ones, if it does happen, we do have a section on our website for support for those loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just probably one of the most painful things anybody could go through. So there are no easy answers, but there is support available if that does happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got Memorial Day coming up. Our holidays, 4th of July, Veterans Day, are those particularly difficult for people with PTSD or veterans?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
Yes, the anxiety levels rise. I work online with the loved ones and the veterans, the people with PTSD, all day long, every day, and the activity is just through the charts right now, and mm-hmm. the comments, and that happens definitely around Veterans Day, 4th of July, and whatever time may be an individual's anniversary of their trauma, and definitely all of the symptoms can escalate. And as for you, Rebecca, and all the other loved ones, we have to remember that we start seeing symptoms in ourselves too, and to recognize that the secondary PTSD or vicarious trauma does indeed affect us, and to be aware and stay tuned to when we're starting to show some of those things, and to not just shove it under the rug, but work it through in a healthy way and get good support for that.
Mm-hmm. Welby O'Brien has been my guest, and her book is called Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans. It's honest and it's insightful and it's very compassionate. And just so you know, 100% of the author's proceeds go back into helping veterans and their families. So it gives you an idea of where Welby's heart is at. Welby, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you, Bill, and God bless everyone with PTSD and their loved ones.
Amen to that. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I'm delighted today to be speaking to Pastor Andy Veith. He is the senior pastor at Bethel Church in Fargo, North Dakota, and it's near and dear to my heart because I will be there on May 31st, where myself and Bob Stromberg and Michael Pierce Donnelly are going to be doing comedy night there. I can hardly wait. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
My privilege.
Are you kidding? Thanks for having us. We can't wait to get there and connect with listeners and have some laughs and get people in a really, really good mood.
Yeah. Well, I know from previous experiences, having different comedy shows, that our congregation loves to laugh.
Well, yeah, and someone from your congregation sent me your comedy demo tape, your personal one, and I didn't laugh once, so I'm excited to be there.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah.
So I love the fact
I laughed at everything.
I love the fact that your congregation likes to laugh, because I think as believers, I know Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I often think, how often are Christians characterized as people of good cheer?
Yeah, not very often. You know, it's funny that our faces don't show what we believe.
It's kind of true. I mean, if we want to be an infectious ambassador for Christ, I think we got to try to do our very best to put something on our face that is going to open people up to conversation.
Yeah, and I think if we're truly experiencing the joy, you know, of the Lord that He offers us, and as a fruit of the Spirit, it would show. I would have to believe too.
Yeah, laughter certainly proves our humanity. When we laugh at ourselves, we gain control back. Sometimes in a world where you feel completely out of control, at times when you can laugh at a situation or even laugh at yourself, it gives you control back.
Yeah, we take ourselves too seriously sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, let's take our mission serious, but ourselves a little less seriously. I think we all have a much better way of getting through life. And if you poke fun at yourself once in a while, you never run out of material.
That's right. Yeah. I find all my illustrations for Sunday morning, at least the ones that I laugh at, Bill, usually on Friday or Saturday, just as I'm out and about with people or in the community.
Yeah. I do find it interesting. Christians love to laugh. You know, most people love to laugh, but you have to find, you know, material that you can trust and performers you can trust, because there's a line, and if you go over it, you've lost their trust. So,
yes.
You know, to me, it's always, our motto has always been never, my personal motto is never make fun of sin ever, because it's not funny ever. So what we do in our show is, you know, people will find that they will laugh and then feel good about what they're laughing at. And that's the kind of stuff that resonates and you remember it forever.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, that's an interesting thing, because Lori and I went on a cruise last fall, and one of the things we like to do if we're ever in that situation is to go to the comedy shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who was doing comedy, and the first one was labeled for family or something. And so we attended that, and it was really, really funny. And then and then an hour later or something, he was doing a second show. So we thought, well, he's really good. Let's stick around and listen. And it was completely dark, but it was the same person doing different comedy shows. And, of course, what goes through our mind is, why? I mean, it's the same audience who was, you know, practically rolling out of their seats a few hours ago. You know, what's the purpose of having to, as you said, cross that line? And boy, did they cross the line.
Yeah, and he probably thought he was broadening his appeal. And what he was doing was limiting his appeal, because you and Laurie would probably not go back to hear him again in that later evening slot.
No, in fact, we left.
Yeah, well, good for you, Andy, because I think it sends a message. I'm a big fan of clean, clever comedy, and when you don't do that and you use vulgar language or inappropriate stories to try to get laughs, I think it's kind of desperate and kind of sad.
Yep, and that's back to laughing at sin, and that's what our culture does.
It does. It laughs at sin all the time. And, you know, the three of us kind of grew up liking, you know, Andy Griffith and Dick Van Dyke and, you know, those shows that had such incredibly rich characters that were completely hysterical, and never once were they inappropriate. It was, it's kind of a bygone era, unfortunately. But I promise what we're going to do is make you laugh, and it's going to be funny, and you're going to feel good about what you're laughing at. So that's all on the 31st of May at your beautiful church, which you can hardly wait to come visit.
We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
I promise to laugh.
Oh, good. You know, I'm willing to come early and cut your lawn if you'll do anything to promote it.
Have you seen my lawn?
I haven't. I might be saying something really stupid right now. Do you have like 6 acres?
No, it'd take you 10 minutes.
Oh.
So I need more than that.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll do some gutter cleaning too that time of the year. So, Andy, I was just looking on your website, and I always love to find out what's on a pastor's heart and what he's preaching on. And I love your last two series, talking about healthy relationships and crazy love. Talk a little bit about crazy love.
Yeah, so we're doing a whole series called Mayday, and believing that anybody who's in any kind of a relationship at some point cries Mayday, and we need help because we're imperfect people, and we tend to mess up relationships fairly frequently. And we definitely need the Lord's intervention and wisdom and insight and principles from His Word in order to live in healthy relationships. Crazy love, I used the acronym of CRAZY to kind of come up with characteristics of what that looks like.
I saw that. Communicated, yeah. Radical, active, zesty, yielding.
Yep.
I would personally love a little info on all of them.
Yeah. You can listen to the message, I guess.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I can do that for sure. But we all have a little bit of crazy in us, and we also all have a little crazy in our relationships. Do you think that at the core of some of that crazy is our own broken, sinful selfishness?
It is the core. Yeah, I don't think it's for some of us. I think that's true because we're fallen people, and that definitely the mess is deep. Yeah.
When I think about what complicates my relationships, it's usually something that is, stuck in my head. It's usually, well, what about me? Or my ego got snubbed or something I don't like. And all of a sudden it gets reflected in my relationships. And I think, oh boy, it's time to repent.
Yep. Yep. Or even all the baggage, that we bring into relationships and the filters that we use, that we see people through, that we talk to people through, that all of our hurts and pains and everything that clouds our ability to live, vulnerably and to go into deeper relationship.
You talked about in your Check Your Baggage message about understanding the difference between burdens and responsibilities. That was a little bit of a – I wanted to ask you about that, if you wouldn't mind elaborating.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's an area of relationships that we find ourselves in a lot of trouble often, and I think it's because of our tendency of wanting to not see people hurt or to rescue them, or we find ourselves in the role of enabling. So burden, the idea behind a burden is just that it's a backbreaking boulder, and we all have them, and we need people to come alongside. In fact, I think God has designed us that way, to come alongside each other and say, hey, let me help lift that, and let me help carry that. But then when we cross the line way too often is when we say to a person, whether that's verbally or just through our actions, let me take that from you. And what happens is things that are meant to be burdens, we take on as our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we find ourselves doing way too often is that we're working harder at the relationship than they are, or we're working harder at their life than they are. And again, I think the motivation behind that often is just, I don't want to see them hurt. I don't want to see them in pain. I don't want to see them struggle. And so I'll take it from them. But what ends up happening is the same old, nothing ever changes.
Mm-hmm. How good are we at owning what needs to be owned in our life?
Not near as good as we are at blaming or transferring.
We're super good at that.
I think that my wife is a counselor, and so we talk about a lot of this often. Anytime you sit down with a person or a couple, and you start into a conversation, very quickly from the get-go, you can tell whether or not a person understands that concept. Whether they are choosing to own what is theirs, or whether they want to blame people, and usually it starts with, oh well, so and so, or instead of saying, hey, here's my part in this, and I really want to work on this. That's a rare thing.
Yeah, it is rare. That takes a certain level of vulnerability, and then you take what kind of personality you have, and I'm a little bit of a people pleaser, so you're talking about trying to take on someone's burden. I got to be careful not to get pulled into that trap, because I can, sometimes I just need to sit and be comfortable with another person's discomfort.
Yes, and it's a difficult thing to do.
It is. Sometimes I'd rather race in and fix it, or try to fix it.
Yeah.
And I usually just mess it up.
Yeah.
Sure you want me coming to your church?
Yeah, if you tell us all the ways you've messed people up, yeah, that'd be great.
I'm always trying to encourage people on my show, on the afternoon show, to take a look at the way Jesus would always step in with kindness and love and mercy. And I'm always trying to teach myself and remind myself of that every day, because That's where I get stuck, Andy, is I get a little bit of steam in my head, and I let it stick in there for a while, and there's no upside to that.
That is very true, and we have much to learn from, you know, the ways of our Savior, of the kindness, mercy, and grace. And as soon as you said that, you made me think of the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. You know, just, and I'm always fascinated how Jesus responded to that. Because we're represented by many of the people in the crowd that want to convict her or throw stones at her. And Jesus knew her sin and was willing to step in and not judge, not condemn, not ridicule, but to say, you know what, you're free, but go sin no more. And here's grace and mercy, and this mm-hmm. is what it looks like.
And the truth is, Andy, grace is oftentimes pretty uncomfortable, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, we like it for ourselves, for sure. We want it all the time and lots of it. But then if you have to offer it to someone that you don't maybe like so much, that would be like, ooh, that might be hard.
It's very difficult, you know, to give somebody something they don't deserve. Because we want to give them what they do deserve.
Yeah, but thank goodness we got something we didn't deserve. And that's what we need to turn around and share with others.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am awfully looking forward to meeting you. I can't wait to meet your staff, and I hope everyone get a chance to come out and see us on May 31st at your beautiful church.
Yes, we're going to encourage people to do that as well.
Thank you so much, Andy. It's been a delight chatting with you, and I'll see you next week.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Andy Beath has been my guest and your pastor at Bethel Church in Fargo, North Dakota. We'll take a short break and be right back.
We're back with Bill.
We're back with Bill.
And Mike.
And Bob.
Having fun in Roseville. With Mike, Bill, and Bob. Take it, Bob.
Take it, Mike.
Nice little scatty. You guys are so good. Welcome back. It was a couple days ago we had a chance, myself, Bob Stromberg, and Michael Pierce Donnelly. We're going to be in Fargo next Friday night for our comedy night. And if you have not gotten your tickets yet, make sure you do that. It's at Bethel Church in Fargo. And we were all gathered in the studio, had a chance to chat with Jarrett Stevens, who is living in Fargo, and we had a chance to talk about our big event coming up, so I'll give you a chance to hear some of that. The three of us are uniquely unqualified for most jobs, so we're so glad we can be doing this. Despite
sure.
that, we're very likable, just so you know.
And my name is Michael Pierce Donnelly. I have been working on... There was a show called Sunday Night that used to be on... It was great fun. It was kind of a variety show that was like Prairie Home Companion sort of thing. And so we did that for many years. Anyway, I work as a actor and a music director, and I work at a church called Eagle Brook Church here in the Twin Cities.
And my name is Bob Stromberg, and I am an entertainer, a performer, a comic, actor, writer kind of guy. And that's what I do and have done. For my whole career, which is getting to be lengthy now. And I'd also say for these guys, Bill and Michael and myself, that not only do we do the things that we just told you about, but we have worked together for 25 years now on a show called Triple Espresso, which the three of us wrote and then went on to perform in 70, 80 cities around the world, six different countries, four different languages. All of us have done the show, you know, 3,000, 3,500 times, something like that now. So we've worked together for a long, long time, and we love to work together and are so looking to forward to being at Bethel Church.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you guys as well. So talk about the show. I know there's going to be some ministry and some music and a whole lot of comedy. Could you give us a little insight as what we can expect?
Yes, you laugh and you feel good about what you're laughing at. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a good place to start in comedy today, is really good, clean comedy that's actually really funny.
And, you know, when somebody tells me, hey, let's go see this guy or let's go see this couple, they're comics, you're going to laugh, you're going to have a great evening. I might say, yeah, sure, okay, I'll go to that. But the truth is, I very often am going, I'm not going to, this, I'm sure it'll be fun, but it won't be great. I mean, this, I can't imagine what's going to make me, what's going to move me that way so that I'm going to be laughing. But honestly, this is, I can say with all modesty, our show is really funny. And I know that because we just did this particular show for the 70th anniversary of Faith Radio. When do we do that, guys?
March 16th.
Yeah, on March 16th. And I had the chance to watch my two partners here, Michael and Bill, work. And I was absolutely delighted. And listening to people just roaring in the audience. It was one of those nights. In fact, I said to you guys afterwards, I said, that has to be, of the 3,500 shows we've done together, that evening has to be one of the top four or five that we've ever done. I mean, that's how fun that was. And so we can hardly, honestly, it's going to be so fun. We can hardly wait to come.
So there's going to be a little bit of comedy magic that Bill Arnold, he kind of specializes in. I'm going to do some music and some parodies and funny stuff with the piano and kind of funny songs. And Bob is a physical comedian and great storyteller, so you'll have a variety of things that will make everyone happy.
Where did the idea come from about taking it on the road and sharing it with as many people as you possibly could?
Well, we had so much fun planning the 70th anniversary of Faith Radio, which, you know, here at the University of Northwestern started in 1949, and Billy Graham gave the big dedicatory prayer, and things got started, and 70 years later, we decided we'd have some night of fun. So the three of us put on an event, and we invited everyone, and everyone came. So there were 1,400 people sold out at Knight Hall, and because everyone else in the listening market just spent 2.5 months hearing about the 70th anniversary comedy show, it dawned on us that it'd be a great way to connect with listeners in the area if we take what we did at Knight Hall and just move it to some other cities over the next couple of months. So we're going to start by going to Fargo on May 31st.
Our show, Triple Espresso, the one that I mentioned we've done 3,500 times in six countries and lots of cities. Because we did it for 13 years here in Minnesota, we sort of had a lot of fans, lots and lots of fans who had come back many, many times. In fact, the show has sold 2 million tickets through the years. So we had opportunities to perform, but we didn't want to go and just do our show to at a fundraising event. And in fact, we couldn't. It's a 2.5 hour show, so we couldn't go to some great organization to help them raise money by doing Triple Espresso. But we went, hey, we can come in and do a show for you. So we've had the chance to do that quite often over the last 20 years, and I've always enjoyed it because when you're doing theater, you do it night after night after night, the very, very same show. And then to be able to step away from that and have a chance to really see what the other guy does has been real fun for us to do.
You know, we ought to come up with a name for this show.
We do it, Michael. It's the 70th anniversary.
Yeah, we just
Faith Radio.
Is that
Yeah.
That's the name of it?
Yeah, that's going to be the name.
It lacks a little bit of oomph.
Well, I don't know.
We could call it Dave or something like that.
That would be really dumb,
Come
Michael.
Out and see
that'd
Dave.
Be really, that'd be really stupid.
Okay,
we're not going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back off.
People are calling up and canceling their tickets right now. Can hear that.
Because of the Dave thing.
Yeah,
great.
The Dave thing. They'll remember the Dave thing.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't. Now, Jarrett, you must have an interesting question for Michael.
I'm just kind of stuck on the whole Dave comedy show. I mean, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
See,
kidding.
That's
I'm
what
just
I'm
kidding.
Saying.
So, Michael, you are the musician of the three,
oh,
and
he is.
You have your keyboard there. You want to give us a little taste of what people can expect?
Oh, I'd love to. Here's if Barry Manilow were to sing Bible songs.
Okay.
Shepherd, but I play my harp for King Saul. I put some words and some melodies together. I am David, and I write the psalms. I write the psalms so Saul will not kill me. I write the psalms he loves like Psalm 23. He nearly diced me hurling spears through the sky. To keep him calm, I write the psalms. I am David, and I write the psalms.
There you go. Barry Manilow doing Bible songs.
I wouldn't say that's what they should expect, right? They probably shouldn't expect that.
Expect what?
Well, what you just did. I don't think that they would expect that. What they should expect is something far better than what you just
far
did.
Far funnier what I did.
Far more expertise than what you just did.
So that you're saying that was you're just saying that
I don't want anybody to think that we're going to go and listen to 2 hours of that.
That would be painful.
On,
No one wants that.
Yeah. Based on what I just said, that's people right. are saying I don't want to come.
That's right. I am here to tell all of you listeners that Michael Pierce Donnelly, who just did that, will actually blow you away. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you from my heart, he will blow you away. You're going to love what he does.
So basically right now I should just stop talking.
Please.
Play. Or stop playing.
Yeah.
Lowering the expectations, huh?
Yeah, it's the way to enjoy my act is just keep your expectations low, and I think you'll be delighted.
Well, that's awesome. The other thing. When Bill Arnold, when he introduced himself and he said that his job, he works here at Faith Radio, which of course you do, Bill.
I do.
But you've been doing comedy. That has been your profession.
Right.
For
my whole career.
Your whole career.
Yes.
I mean, 30 some years now.
Yes.
So, yeah. Just wanted to make that clear.
And you did.
You're not just the radio guy.
No, I've been a performer forever.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It sure sounds like you guys like each other. I'm just saying.
Well, these two guys like each other. And I just sit here and.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Play your piano.
Yep, just play my piano.
Well, there are not two people I would rather work with. There are no two people I'd rather work with more than I would like to work and continue to work with Michael Pierce Donnelly and Bill Arnold. That's the truth.
Mm. Yeah. Right back at you, Bob.
It gets to be one of those nights of entertainment, though, that it kind of feels a little it transcends a normal night of entertainment. It gets to be one of those nights that you go, now that night I'm going to remember for a long time.
Mm. Yep.
And that's our goal. So we really want to connect with listeners. We want people to come and leave their cares at home and laugh themselves absolutely silly. And I promise they'll have the best time. And little guarantee we'll make, if it's not the best night of comedy you've ever had, bring us your ticket and your proof of purchase.
Yeah.
And we will personally tell you how sorry we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We will.
Yeah,
we
guarantee
that.
Yeah, to your face.
Yeah.
We'll look you in the eye.
But you know what, guys? Honestly, what better way... Aren't you excited to be able to use the gifts that God has given us for an event like this to be able to celebrate 70 years of Faith Radio? It's a remarkable thing that Faith Radio has been doing this now for 70 years. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's an awesome deal.
And to think that we get a chance to be a part of that celebration, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
But I'm easily blown away, obviously. I can tell by the way you're looking at me
I'm just afraid to talk.
All right, it was great to be together with you guys. Remember, next Friday night, Bethel Church, get your tickets for comedy night. I promise you'll have a blast. Have a great, great holiday weekend. Be safe and just know that as you lay your head on the pillow tonight, God is working out that glorious plan of His in your life. God bless. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.